one thing about, am I on? Yes. One thing about not being able to walk easily is that you just love sitting down. So that's the advantage, that I can sit down. I'm very grateful for the movement of furniture and fussing that goes on. It's very welcome. And I'm delighted to be with you. I get a lovely view from here, which I don't get every other Sunday, and some of you don't get at all. And that is to see the whole congregation as a whole and see the mixture that's here amongst us. I was uniquely blessed, I'm sure many of you were, the Sunday morning when Paul began to call out different nationalities, countries that were here, and we counted up to 10 different nations. Is it nations? Is that the right word? Nations or whatever it was. I don't know much about geography, but there were 10 different ones here, and that was an incredible revelation, because we are a tiny little church, really, tucked away in the middle of the Fen, which nobody thinks is important. East Anglia is sort of off the map, really. And yet there were 10 different nationalities here that Sunday morning. Isn't that amazing? But when I look out upon you now, I'm equally amazed at the variety of us as a community, church community, as the body of Christ in this place. And I'm going to ask you to cooperate with me, and usually you're quite good at this, so I'm trusting you. And I want you to put your hand up if you're under 30. Hand up, hi. And you're allowed to look round if you want to. No, Lorna, you're not. Right up, because I want other people to see it as well. Have a look round. You can get up and look round if you want to. Now I want you to put your hand up if you're between 30 and 60. Oh, yeah. Have a look round if you want to. See how many hands are up. Thank you. Now comes the difficult one. And if you're lying, somebody round you will know you're lying. So be warned. Be warned. I want your hands up if you're over 60. Right, hands down. Thank you. What a mixture. And we're made up too of a congregation that is either part of a married couple or is a living alone person, of which I'm one. Hands up if you're part of a living alone person. I'm not ashamed of it, that's all right. Nothing to be ashamed of in that. And hands up if you're part of a couple, even if the other half isn't here. Thank you. Folks, whether we like it or not, this is church. And actually, it's a much healthier church than many churches, because many churches are full of older people or full of younger people. And actually, we've got a mixture. And part of that mixture is that some of us live alone and some of us have someone we live with, which makes a world of difference too. And I'm amazed that God gave me this word, and it's been confirmed over and over again over the last 6 weeks, because this word was in my heart and birthed, I believe, I know, by the Spirit of God before the last three Sundays. And in the last three Sundays, this word has been preached very, very, very well and taught very, very well. And so I feel a bit surplus to requirements, really. But I believe God knows us probably better than we know ourselves and wants this brought and emphasised yet again. So it's a very similar theme to the theme you've listened to in the last three Sundays. But perhaps God has got something that he wants us to hear, really, really, really hear. And in his love and mercy, he's going to give us the chance to hear it again. Some truths have to be bedded in our hearts. And if they're not bedded in our hearts properly, we swing about with different remarks or statements or teaching. And actually, if we've got words, God's word buried in our hearts, it's what we just sang just now, his name becomes the anchor of our soul. And we need to be anchored in the fact that we are all of value. Never mind whether you're living with somebody, married, or whether you're on your own, there is no difference. You personally, and I personally, am of value. And I want us to emphasise that, because I want that to be the anchor that holds us in place. That nobody is of less value than anyone else to God this morning. Each one of us is of value. But I'm going to start by, and this, I'm going to address it all in a moment. I'm going to start by addressing the most intimate relationship there is. And that's the relationship between a man and a woman. And it is, according to God's word, it is the most intimate relationship of all. Doesn't mean it's the only thing he favours. It doesn't mean married people are the only people he loves. It doesn't mean married people are the only people that he's got time for or opportunity for. He doesn't say that. But he does say it's the core, the most intimate relationship there is. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you, and you'll know it well. But I want you to listen. It's coming from the Amplified Bible, which amplifies the word a bit. And it's very, very, very familiar. But I personally was deeply moved by reading it again. Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory, that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet, suitable, adapted, complementary for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every wild beast and living creature of the field and every bird of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air and to every wild beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper, meet, suitable, adapted, complementary for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs, or part of his side, and he closed up the place with flesh. And the rib, or part of his side, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he built up and made into a woman. And he brought the woman to the man. Then Adam said, this creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture of the intimacy of a married relationship? I think I'm going to tell you this first. I was going to share it later on, I thought, but anyway. It's incredibly important that we live in our own skin. That we don't try and be something that we're not because we think we should be. God is well able to make us what we should be, and he does, as many of us know, only too well. And we're all a work in progress. But he has made us as we are. And last week, Kim, lots of the stuff is well worth repeating, but she did say that every individual had their own gifting. And that belongs to men and women too. That every individual has their own gifting. And we have to express the person we are. The person we are deep down, for our marriage to be successful. Now, you can argue this afterwards if you want to, but just this is what I'm feeling now anyway. And too often we're trying to clothe ourselves in an unreal image. And consequently, we make ourselves, or try to make ourselves, something which we don't naturally fit into. And we become, as it were, square pegs, round pegs in a square hole, and we don't actually feel comfortable in our own skin. Tom and I went through quite a hazardous time in the 70s when we were first baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because the teaching at that time, and some of you will remember it, was very strongly that every man was very macho and very authoritative and very much the ruler. And every woman was submissive and kept silent and just got on with doing whatever her husband told her they should be doing. And that isn't an exaggeration, that's true. And we had tried to pour ourselves into that mould. Tom, by nature, wasn't a strong, authoritative, dominant man in any way. And I wasn't naturally a submissive, quiet, you know me too well, submissive, quiet little woman. But we tried desperately to be it, and I mean desperately, I'm not exaggerating. I tried to be as quiet and as back room as I could possibly be. And Tom tried to be as upfront and bossy as he could possibly be. And I think it is a bit of an exaggeration, but I felt, we, looking back, we nearly lost our marriage in the process. And then we were at Cromer, and we discovered there was a breakfast for leaders some morning, Saturday morning probably, and somebody offered to have our children, and Tom and I went. And the breakfast for leaders was addressed by somebody called Ern Baxter, that some of you won't have a clue who he is. He was a Canadian preacher who had an international ministry. He would preach for an hour and a half, and you wouldn't dare miss a minute of it because it was incredibly challenging and wonderful. We had great respect for Ern Baxter. And we went to that meeting, and we heard this mighty man who seemed to know everything about everything say, he said, gentlemen, and he was talking to leaders, gentlemen, listen to your wives. They're often your spiritual antennae. Be sure to listen to your wives. And I thought, goodness, am I really hearing this? And then he said this. He said, God took, and it's the first time we've heard it, and you've heard it many times, I expect. He said, when God made Adam, he made Adam a complete man. He was a complete man. And then God took a rib from his side, and he became an incomplete man. And he said he didn't take that rib from in front of him, and he didn't take that rib from behind him. He didn't take that rib from under him, and he didn't take that rib from over him. He took that rib from beside him, and he clothed it in the form of a woman. And then, as a woman with Adam's rib, he put her back, his rib back, and her back into function with Adam. And Adam became a complete man again. And she was by his side. She was under his arm so that she was protected by him. She was by his side so that she walked in step with him. And she was close to his heart so that she was loved by him. That morning changed our lives, dramatically changed our lives. And we decided that we were going to be the people that God had created it to be, with a huge battle. I laughed at the realisation, if you're a visitor here, we don't always have lady preachers, I promise you. But I laughed at the fact that I'm speaking today and that's four lady preachers. And at that time, in those years, if I got into the pulpit, people would walk out the door in protest. We've come a long way. And I do believe we've come God's way. Amen. And there is balance. And there needs to be balance, not just as a church, but in all our lives, there's got to be balance. And we've got to hear God on what he would say to us, even over what I'm saying this morning. Marriage is incredibly important to God. It really matters that we balance each other. We're made to complete, to complement. We're made to what's the word I want? To get in together and not to be at war, to weave. We're made to weave together and not to be at war with each other. And too often we get ourselves into situations where we're at war with each other. That is wrong. We must learn a way, each couple must learn a way to weave so that we're working together to the glory of God. What does that involve? I think it involves giving space to each other. It involves recognising each other's gifting, making sure we support each other properly. We can easily have grown into a slightly worldly state of mind that has a tinge of feminism in it, where if a woman wants to do something, well, she can do it, doesn't matter, you know, she can just go and do it. That isn't what it's about. The unity means that we understand and listen to each other, that we know what each other's gifting is, that we're encouraging each other in our gifting, male or female, that we do give space, and we recognise that we need that balance in order for it to work. I'm fascinated to realise how much, and I've asked permission to use names, and people I haven't asked permission of, I won't use their names. But you see, most of us would see Paul as very able and confident and self-sufficient in God. I think you'd agree with that. I know that Paul would say that he can only be the man he is because he's got Mally by his side. And if he hadn't, he wouldn't be the man he is. We don't see that all the time. But you see, it works that way. It does work that way. And I'm just fascinated to realise that Kim can be here when she's preaching on a Sunday morning at, I don't know, 8:30, 9:15. And she leaves, and when she's studying and training, and she leaves Colin able and willing to handle 5 sons and a home. Not an easy task for a woman, let alone for a man. But we don't hear any complaining. All she has is total support from him. And because of that, she can do it. She can be the person she is because Colin at that point is willing to let her be that person. And there are times when the worlds change and she has to be supportive of Colin's ministry. Not has to be, wants to be, loves to be supportive of his ministry. Beth Moore, many of us admire Beth Moore and value her teaching. When you read some of her personal story, you realise that she doesn't have what would be termed an easy marriage. Her husband walks a different path to her. He's a Christian, but he doesn't walk in the total commitment. No, I mustn't say that, I don't know. But it would appear that he has different standards for different things than she does. And yet you would recognise that he has released her to do the work that she does gladly and supports her in it. He's not in it with her, he supports her in it. And so I would say, I'm erring on that side because that is the needy side. But for ladies, it's not enough just to know that your husband's involved in something and let him get on with it, because actually you've got a part to play in it. Your support, your understanding is desperately needed. But we need to listen to each other. And we don't do much of that because we're busy. We don't do heart-to-hearts and get to grips with what is going on in each other's hearts. We can't ride in joint harness properly or row properly together if we're not listening to each other, if we're not sharing the hopes and the doubts and the fears, if we're not feeding each other. And how many men would have made wrong decisions if their wives hadn't said, steady? And how many women would have made wrong decisions if their husbands had not said, I don't think you should do that? Now that causes conflict. But from that point, you learn to weave. You learn to listen to each other, to sort it out, to discover what God is saying, because actually, he's always right. Which means one of you, if you're in conflict, is wrong. But it does mean you get together in God and you sort it out. It's about relationship. And relationship takes time and effort. It doesn't just happen. It isn't enough to have it squashed into tiny slots in your week. Or, I'm so tired. That is not an excuse for a breakdown in relationship. We've got to maintain relationship properly. Otherwise, something of our foundation is missing. We're not free to function as we should. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Good. Why? Husbands have to love their wives, really love them. And love is more than just a kiss on the end of a card or just even saying, I love you. Love is honouring her. It's recognising her as the weaker sex, because she is. It's caring for her in whatever way she needs caring in. It's giving her what she needs. And sorry, gentlemen, but many of you don't know what we need. And you don't ask us, and we get cross that we have to tell you because we think you should know, and we don't allow for the fact you don't. But gentlemen, find out what your wives need and work hard at meeting that need, because God made you to weave together. And unless you're prepared, submit to one another, says the word, unless you're prepared to go over and under, you won't weave properly. So come to an understanding of each other's ways, an understanding of each other's needs. It's priority stuff, absolute priority stuff in building relationships. And ladies, I hate to say this to you, you'll love me saying this. I've written it down so I don't forget it. You are told to respect your husbands. And your husband, to respect him means to honour him, to esteem him, to appreciate and to prize him. I can almost hear some of you saying, you don't know my husband. But guess what? The good news or the bad news is you're told to respect him not because he deserves respect, not because he's earned respect, simply because he's your husband. And you respect him because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and are told to obey him. And he says, respect your husband. And that means incredible faithfulness, really. It means never talking about your husband negatively in any public way. There may be occasions when you need to find someone you really trust, and have a good moan and get it off your chest. But that's it. You just need to be praying with somebody who will be very positive in that situation and not just sympathise. But we must remember that the other priority in a relationship is that we respect our husbands, ladies, and we're faithful to them. Faithfulness isn't just about sex, etc. Faithfulness is about speech as well. And we do each other good in our conversations about each other. I think that's more or less that bit done with. But probably, almost not half probably, but a lot of this congregation live alone, like I do. And it's not easy living alone, because the enemy can easily whisper the things that you're of no value and nobody loves you and all the rest of it, which is just ridiculous. But it's a constant attack, really, on those who live alone. And what does God do for those who live alone? Well, he provides himself in amazing ways. You'll laugh at this, but I've just discovered after all these years that Jesus actually is my friend. And that's another story, but he is my friend. And he's willing to be to me everything I need. In fact, when Tom died, I remember saying to a number of folk, do you know, you can only say Jesus is all you need when he's actually all you've got. And that's true. The testing time comes when he's all you've got. But God doesn't just minister through the reality of the comfort and care and love of Jesus. He's also put you in a church body. And he wants to minister, I believe, through the church body as well, to those who are on their own. It's so easy to build an independent spirit when you're on your own. You don't like to ask for help. You don't like to admit you're needy in any way at all. You pretend that life is fine. When people say, how are you, say, I'm fine. Because, well, you are, really. If I told you, and this is true, and I know you trust me, well, most of you do, if I try and put a light bulb in my standard lamp at home, which is quite high, and you have to push it down at a funny angle to get it in, and it won't go in, after trying about 20 times, I can easily sit down on the sofa and cry, because I can't do it. And I'm surrounded by a family that if I only have to whisper that I need something, are there like a shock. Like a shot. And that's wonderful for me, but that's not everybody's privilege. And perhaps you're somebody who tries to do something and can't do it and sits down and cries and thinks, I'll try again later. I want to tell you that, I'm going to say our now because I'm one of you, our need is a part of the building of this body. And if we're going to behave as people without any needs, this body is going to go on looking after itself and enjoying life together and enjoying Sunday mornings. But for 6 days of the week, we're not here in church together. We're not going to meet people that we automatically know, like us, and feel comfortable with us. We're going to be out there on our own. And we are going to be an absolute landing strip for the enemy's fiery darts, who's going to tell us that we're not looked after, we're not wanted, and we're not cared for. No, we won't be cared for if nobody knows we need them. Having said that, I want you to remember this bit if you're on your own. When you have a need, ask God who you should ask, and then ask. Because people are not going to come up, knock on your door and say, come to see if you have any needs today. They're not going to do it. It doesn't work like that. But if you have a need, ask God who you should phone. And I believe he'll tell you who to phone. You see, if I had a need that needed practical help, my automatic move would be to phone Martin Earle or Graham Muster. It's just what I do. But I know from experience that God sometimes tells us to ask somebody else. And actually, Martin and Graham can't handle everybody calling them because they're their first port of call because they know what they're good at. That's not what it's about. It's letting God weave again, bring the unity, bring the sense of belonging and the infrastructure that works in the body of Christ. I have to say, there aren't many churches that have this working properly. And who am I to say that we could be, should be? I haven't got any right to say that. But I do know, I believe the Spirit has really revealed that we have got to stop being independent if we live alone. And we've got to take the pride garment off that says I want to be seen as self-sufficient and put on the needy garment that says I need you. The church, I believe scripturally, is made up of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're to be brothers to each other. And we're to be sisters to each other. I have men that... think how you take this. I have men that I'm particularly fond of. I have men that I particularly trust. And it's fine. It's a brotherhood relationship. And I value them hugely. And I know there are men here who are on their own who would treat me as somebody they really trust and who really cares. And we've got an intimate relationship. And in the spirit, it is an intimate relationship in that they care for me and I'm grateful for their care. And they need me and I'm grateful to be needed. But it weaves something together that is almost tangible. And it makes me feel so secure, and I pray I make some of the men feel secure. Now, it can go badly wrong. I know it. I know of all people how badly it can go wrong. But, again, I had a flashback, and I can't help it. That's the price of being older. You have past experience. And it was a flashback to the early 70s, when we'd just been baptized in the Spirit, and were thrilled to bits that that we were absolutely overwhelmed with love. We loved each other, we did. And all this love that the Lord had shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit, not just us, but the congregation, was brimming over. And everybody was drenched in this sort of loving that expressed itself in hugging and even kissing. And it was a part of our makeup. It just was. And one of our older gentlemen, who had a very senior position in the church, stood up at a meeting, and he addressed the meeting, and he said, I'm just telling you, all this hugging and kissing has got to stop. In the eyes of the world, it's immoral, and it isn't right that we should be doing it as a church. And we were devastated, absolutely devastated. It pulled the rug from under us totally, because we believe this is something the Holy Spirit had done. We were being told it was wrong and immoral. And God, I'm going to say bless him, I even mean it reverently. God bless him in his wisdom. Gave me my next morning's reading as Genesis. And God moving in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And do you know what he said to me? He said, I'm restoring what has been lost. And I believe that it was his word. He was restoring what had been lost. God always planned for it to be this way. He planned for us to be overflowing with love. He planned for us to be expressive, as Paul encouraged us earlier, to be expressive in worship. He encouraged us to be expressive in love. And God moved on from that amazingly. But that is what we're here for. We're not here for, to be as the world or to take the world's standards. We are here as God's people. We are here as God's own holy people. And that's what makes the difference. As soon as relationships between men and women become unholy in any way, they're wrong. They're wrong. But in holiness, God blends us together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we have to be watchful for each other. We have to be honest with each other. I'm reading Proverbs at the moment, and just yesterday morning I was pulled up short with the phrase, remember your rebuke is as important as your flattery. I like encouraging, I like flattering people. It's not just flattery, it's genuine, but I like that sort of flow. But we've got to learn that our rebuke matters too. And we've got to be able to give rebuke or caution and receive it without getting offended. Because we're weaving something that is impenetrable, that is powerful against forces of darkness, that will enable us to tread down the militant evil forces. We can do it if we're a united body, but not if we're fragmented. And that unity starts with us as couples in our homes. And if we're living alone, it starts with us recognising and owning and rebuking the lies of the enemy and knowing that we belong and we are valued and we do matter. And it's our fault if we're not getting help when we need it because we're not asking. And if you've asked and you haven't got help, come and tell one of the elders or one of the church council. Because we want to be, I believe Paul and the elders would agree totally, we want to be a functioning church that functions in the spirit. And it is different to the way the world functions, it is. And it's a holy people. And if there's not holiness in our hearts, and a desire to be holy, a desire to recognise the witness of the spirit that tells us we're in the wrong, then we're on dangerous ground. Because all this stuff is for those who plan to walk in holiness. I need to go back, because something I haven't said and thought about really comes to mind. When I talk about ladies respecting your husbands, and ladies in church, on your own, respecting the men, because the men you put around you are there as leaders. Well, we're all leaders because we have people following us. We're all shepherds and we're all sheep because we have responsibility for other people as well as responsibility to follow others. I have been, in this 6 weeks, I've been amazed at the confirmations that have come in over all this. And one of them is, I talked with Bobby and Mandy Shawn after she spoke at the Ark. We talked for quite a long time. She came across as a very able, confident, obviously well-taught woman. But as I sat with them as a couple, I was amazed how much she honoured him, how much she obviously expressed the fact that she could only be what she was because of his support. And it came across like that very strongly. He was the leader, and it showed. And then I was involved with a couple who head up a very, very, very successful business. She's incredibly extrovert. He's incredibly introvert. And they sat on my sofa and I marveled, I always do, I marvel at their relationship together. And they've been married for over 40 years. And she is all bubble and push and drive. It's her bubble and push and drive that has extended and built such a marvellous, successful business. But all the time, as they talk together as a couple, she is obviously leaning into him. She's obviously recognising his authority and his leadership. And it really, really, really shows. And that's what I'm saying, really. We've got to get the balance right in it all. What I'm saying won't fit every situation. But I do long that you take time and opportunity to really pursue and understand that God has a shape for you as a couple or as a person living on your own that is bigger than you're in today. Because there is always more, believe you me, there is always more for you in God. And I'm saying it for my age. And there is always more. And however old your marriage is, if it's a year old, or 10 years old, or 50 years old, or 60 years old, there is always more. Let's pursue the very best that God has for us. And if you're living on your own, does God know? Yes, he does. Has God planned for it? Yes, he has. Is he sufficient? Yes, he is. But he will cause you to take off your pride. He will cause us to take off our pride, take off our independence, take off our haughtiness that says, I'll do it my way. We've just sung that. And to put on God's way. And that is the building of his body in this place at this time. Amen. Thinking about this, as obviously I have, I've missed the scripture that I was going to read to you about Paul saying how important it is to revel in being on your own because you don't have anyone else to worry about. A married man's got to worry about his wife and a married woman's got to worry about her husband. If you're on your own, it's easy. It's easier to live totally for Jesus if you're on your own. It is. And that doesn't mean I didn't love Tom and I wouldn't want him back tomorrow if it was offered. But it is easier on your own. So revel in the good things about being on your own, not the bad. But you know, we're not in this church, all of us, necessarily because we agree with everything or because we like everyone. We will have the love of God to love everyone. We may not actually like them all very much. But we're here by God's appointment. Do you believe that? If you're here by God's appointment, then you're going to work at being the body of Christ in unity. We are going to work at it. If you're not conscious that you're here by God's appointment, get out quick, because you're in the way. I trust the elders would agree with that statement. Don't mean it quite sweeping this out. And I certainly would say, don't just disappear without talking to anyone. Tell them where you're going and what's going on. But we all want ourselves and each other in the right place, don't we? Yes. And we need to know that God has planted us here, called us to be here for his purpose at this time. And we have to give it our 100% support. We have to be 100% willing to do our little part in building the body. I can't be responsible for your attitude. I can only be responsible for my own. But that applies to each one of us. And as we work at the intimacy and the strength of our marriages and our call to be brotherly and sisterly to the wider body where there are men and women with real needs, so God will lead us on from strength to strength. Why did he ask me to bring this yet again after three other good preaches? I believe it's because he wants us to hear it. And the word says, be not hearers of the word only, but be doers. Can I just pray? Father, I just want to ask as I conclude that by the power of your spirit, Lord, you will root the necessary bits of this in our hearts. And Lord, whatever is applicable to every individual, please, Lord, I almost want to ask that you give no peace until that is thoroughly, thoroughly rooted and beginning to fruit in you. Lord, I do pray that for your glory, you will do your work in our individual hearts at this time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Paul?